Hi, I'm Wendy Wesley. I am a registered and licensed dietitian nutritionist and owner of Wendy Wesley Nutrition here in St. Petersburg, Florida. I help people eat better and manage chronic disease, lose weight, and just feel better with food.
I won't be defined by your dreams, committed to my goals, yeah. Gotta do my own. Welcome to Hustleberg. Thank you for sharing your time with us as we chat with entrepreneurs here in St. Petersburg, Florida. We talk about how they got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleberg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle because I found that most entrepreneurs lack the time and expertise to build their own digital marketing strategy and still get results. As an entrepreneur here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners about what they do and sharing that conversation with you. Now, you may have noticed a few changes with the podcast lately. One of the biggest is that we're now doing video. So if you're only listening to this episode, whether it's on your favorite podcast player, RadioSt.Pete.com, or Sunshine 96.7 FM, please know that this episode and all future episodes are available for you to view on YouTube and BeyondYourSideHustle.com. Just visit BeyondYourSideHustle.com/YouTube to subscribe or to watch your favorite episode of Hustleberg. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe. And if you would, also rate and review the episode as well, because it sends us the right signals to know how the conversations add value for you. Finally, if you're interested in being a guest in an upcoming episode and you own a small business here in St. Pete, let us know by visiting beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast guest. So Wendy, why is it that you're helping people eat better and subsequently feel better through food?
I believe that the thing that we do 3 or 4 times a day, which is eat, matters greatly to our health. And I find that more and more physicians and other people in healthcare are believing and knowing what dietitians have known all along, that food matters to our health greatly. It's big time matters.
So what got you started in this way? What inspired you to do this? Kind of what's the motivation for you to have created a business around helping people eat better?
I always wanted to be a social worker, and I did marketing and public relations and special events for nonprofits, but I always wanted to work with the end user of the service. And so I was working at St. Anthony's Hospital, and I got to know the dietitians and the diabetes educators who work there. And I thought, I would like to do that kind of work. I've cooked my entire life. I've been interested in food. And so in my 40s, I got a degree in nutrition. And so nutrition is now my social work. I like to help people of all income levels learn how food can make their lives much, much better, how they can avoid chronic disease or manage chronic disease and get off medications. I help a lot of people get off medications.
So you're more focused on kind of the prevention, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, because you're focusing on things going into the body kind of before you're at a medical intervention.
If I can, okay. If someone is knowledgeable enough or motivated enough to say, and it happens a lot. People come to me. My mother had diabetes. My dad had cardiac disease. They both died at young ages. I have a feeling that if I don't get my nutrition figured out, I'm going to end up like them, and I don't want to end up like them. So I have a lot of patients, a lot of clients who are in that predicament, who see the handwriting on the wall, and they know that if they can apply some nutrition interventions today, they don't have to suffer the fate of their family members.
Now, those patients, those clients, kind of who is best served by having somebody help them figure out how they can manage the way that they eat better so that they're feeling better?
I have a lot of people who have died. I work with a lot of people who have diabetes, cardiac disease, kidney failure. I work with a lot of people who just want to lose weight. I work with people who know that they're spending a lot of money on restaurant food and takeout food and fast food, and they want to cook more at home. They want to learn how to read labels. They want to learn how to shop in a grocery store and not spend half their paycheck. So I do that. Like I said, I help people who already are in chronic disease to manage it and get off medication. But I also help people prevent chronic disease from moving forward by getting them to cook more, do more shopping, and then rely less on restaurant, takeout, fast food, and prepared food. And I really believe that that is a great driver of cardiac disease, diabetes, and other chronic diseases in our country.
So what sets you apart from somebody who's planning meals or a Weight Watchers-like experience? What makes you different from something like that that may help someone?
I have a license from the Florida Department of Health to write prescriptive diets. Okay. And to help people with nutrition. So I went to school for a long, long time. Sure. To do what I do. So I am a registered dietitian. Anyone really can hang a shingle and call themselves a nutritionist. It doesn't mean that they know what they're doing. And in fact, a lot of people can cause harm by telling people to eat the wrong thing or do this or do that. I also know there's a lot of people out there that push supplements, powders, potions, lotions, shakes, and without proper supervision, these can be very harmful for people. So I have a license, I have a lot of education, and I have been trained and vetted by the state of Florida to do this kind of work.
Now, what does the person who's most helped by what you do look like? What are they looking to stop or stem or slow down or make better for themselves?
The majority of my clients are at middle age. Okay. They tend to be women, not all women, but mostly women at middle age for whom their metabolism has slowed down. But maybe their habits have changed. They are more sedentary. They have more money in the bank, and therefore there's more resources for good food and good wine. They're not working perhaps anymore or as hard. So all of those things collide with a slowing metabolism. So more money in the bank, more leisure time means weight gain, diabetes, cardiac disease. And that is my most typical patient.
Now, when you take a look at how the average American eats and how your average client eats, how would you compare the two?
Very, very similar. I find that we are a nation that is, we rely on convenience foods and processed foods today more than ever. And those foods tend to be very, very low in fiber, low in nutrients, very high in added sugars, and very, very high in refined grains, refined flours. So instead of eating nutrient-dense foods that are very, very high in fiber, mostly plants, we eat a lot of food that comes from packages, boxes, containers. That's, again, very, very high sodium, low fiber, and very high in refined carbohydrates. And that is a fast track to weight gain, diabetes, and cardiac disease. Fast track.
So kind of give us an overview real quick of some of the things. I know you listed some there. What are some of the things straight away that we should absolutely not have anything to do with when it comes to how we're feeding our bodies?
We all need to stop consuming sugar-sweetened beverages. I do not have any hard and fast rules when I work with clients, but that is one. I am a very, very flexible and open-minded and kind dietitian, but I draw a hard line in the sand when it comes to sugar-sweetened beverages. There is no reason for any of us to drink those kinds of, and there are six of them. It is colas,
yeah,
lemonade, juice, sweet tea, sports drinks, and Starbucks. So I added the sixth one last year when I realized that a lot of my patients were drinking Starbucks drinks that had 800 and 900 calories in them.
And oh, so yeah. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And so a lot of my patients said, I can't lose weight. And my A1C is climbing. What's going on? And so what we do is a very, very careful analysis of a client's diet. And almost always a sugar sweetened beverage is the culprit. And we do that one thing. We get rid of that. Or I try not to make people just go cold turkey on something that they really enjoy. So okay. I negotiate goals with people. And so if you were doing a Starbucks drink 3 times a week, so next week we're going to bring it down to 2. And then the next week we just bring it down to 1 and we see how much pain you're in. Because I know that if my clients are in pain, they're not likely to stick with the program. And right. So one of my big approaches is to cause minimal pain as we're making dietary changes, because maximum pain, people just rubber band and they go back to where they were, and it's all for nothing. So slow, painless changes over the course of time. And the goal is for this to become the person's new way. I want people to be on autopilot with the new way. I want them to see results, and I want them to feel better about their choices.
Yeah, I see people who try every fad or crash diet that there is, and they just bounce back to what they were doing before. And it really is about changing the way that you eat and a lot of the things that you consume. You have to figure out what works for you. I know that there are some people that do really well moving away or moving toward an entirely plant-based diet. I know some folks that do a really, they're well served by doing something that's ketogenic. There are people that do a great job with Whole30. They have to find something that fits their life and kind of their taste, as well as their unique health situation.
You know, sometimes I do, it's kind of controversial, but sometimes I do recommend a ketogenic diet for someone, because what I think a ketogenic diet is a junk food elimination diet.
Oh yeah.
So here's what's not on keto. Ding dong pizza, ho-ho, bagel, you know, bread, pot, you know, all these things. And so when you really cut these highly, and they're almost always refined carbohydrates. When you cut mm-hmm. these refined carbohydrates out of the diet, guess what? You have to eat something. And what you end up eating is non-starchy vegetables and lean protein, which is really what any dietitian would recommend that you eat anyway. And so we do kind of a crash keto for a while to just okay. get it out of the system. And then I add back in fruit. I have them add back in fruit. I have them add okay. back in potatoes, and then whole grains, not junk grains, but whole grains. And of course, right. beans. I think that beans are the finest food on the planet. Okay. Very inexpensive, high protein, high fiber. Minerals, vitamins, antioxidants. I mean, the bean has it all. And so, yeah, we put the beans back in. We put the fruit back in. We add potatoes back in. We don't add French fries, but we right. reintroduce potatoes. And then hopefully what stays out for the lifetime is the junk. Yeah.
Now, what resources do you have at your disposal that are helping guide you in building your business? We're looking for books, podcasts, a course, business coach, that kind of a thing, whatever it is that's helping you succeed.
Oh, let's see. I follow what other people do. Okay. I'm a great copycat, and I see okay. what other people would do. And so, a long time ago, I think I was at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and someone says, well, I write articles to promote my business. And I thought, wow, I was trained as a journalist, so I can write. And so, right. I find that article writing has been very good for me to, promote my business. And, as a result, I've written so much that I now have enough for a book. And then I'm putting a book together. So over the years, just writing and writing and writing, I also find that a lot of media outlets are sometimes looking for content. Mm-hmm. And if you can write an article that has a great headline and is helpful and is meets a need for an outlet or a publication, they will run your stuff. So I find that article writing is a great marketing tool for me.
Now, I'm somebody who doesn't look at what some describe as failures as such. I look at them as lessons. What is the most important lesson you've learned thus far with what you do in your nutrition service business?
every single day, get up and push, push, push every day. Okay. You have to push yourself out, and it cannot be through one channel. It has to be through multiple channels. So there's Facebook and Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, article writing, podcast. It's something, saying yes to something like this. Tomorrow I'm speaking at for a political organization about nutrition insecurity in St. Petersburg. So, so essentially saying yes to what is offered, using multiple channels and every day. And then the other thing is, when something doesn't work, don't get discouraged, because it takes time to build an audience and it takes time to build rhythm and flow. So I'm starting right now with something where I do somebody in St. Pete who has a kind of a pretty good following will ask me a nutrition question and I will answer it in a video. So okay. I've done a couple of these and I'm not sure if it's sticky. You know, sometimes things are sticky and sometimes they're not.
Right.
But the mistake would be to give up, because the first two times I did it, the response wasn't what I thought it should be. So I have to stick with it. And that's the mistake, is giving up on an idea for marketing or a promotional idea too easy, because it doesn't blow the doors off right away.
Now, what are some of the most inspiring things you've had the opportunity to work on within the community here in St. Pete?
Working at the local acute care hospital, I was assigned to the stroke and the cardiac floors. And because I was a clinical dietitian at a hospital for many, many years, which is why I can write all of these different diets for my clients. There isn't something that a client gives me that I can't do, because when you're a hospitalist or when you're a hospital dietitian, you have to do absolutely every single condition, you know, cancer, diabetes, cardiac disease, weight gain, weight loss, all of it. You have to do all of it. So my patients on the stroke and the cardiac floor, I would be consulted to talk to them by their physician. And I'd come in and say, here's how we want you to eat for your diabetes or your cardiac disease or whatever. And they'd say, I know how to eat, but the food does not exist in my community. And so I was getting patient after patient after patient who said, I got it. I know what to do. I have no grocery stores in my neighborhood. I have no grocery stores in my community. And so I really kind of, and I'm born and raised here in St. Pete. I opened my eyes and I looked around and I said, I created a map, and within a 42 block area of South St. Pete, there are no full service grocery stores. Compare and contrast that to Northeast St. Pete, where we have a Publix across the street from another Publix, a soon to be opened Whole Foods right next door. There's a Fresh Market, a Trader Joe's, a Rollin' Oats, and a Winn-Dixie. And this is all within a 1 mile radius of a certain area of our city. And then I started to kind of take a look at a specific plaza in South St. Pete that's owned by the city. And promises have been made to the community for about 4 years now that a grocery store would come in. And so I write a lot of articles bringing awareness to the fact that there are some areas of our city that are blessed with many, many, many food options. And then there are large areas, swaths of our city where there is no food. So that has been an incredibly rewarding experience, just to kind of bring awareness to the disparities, the health disparities that exist in our city.
Now, in your wildest dreams, where are you looking to take Wendy Wesley Nutrition?
Okay. I would love to be a contributor to the Today Show.
Okay.
Or another kind of morning, or, you know, national show. I would like to be a nutrition and cooking consultant to, you know, one of the big morning shows. Or I'd like to have a radio show, a nationally syndicated radio show, or this is big. I'd like to talk about nutrition on the Food Network. And I'd like to talk about label reading and grocery shopping and nutrition on the Food Network. So that's kind of big, but you know, you got to think big, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when you take a look at how you're spending your time working, how much of it would you say you're working in the day-to-day, the actual operation of your business, versus how much time do you spend on your business to develop and grow toward that goal of being on the Today Show as their go-to dietitian?
I need to probably spend more time doing the work.
Okay.
Because right now I'm sitting on four client. I write a synopsis for every client, and I'm sitting on four of them right now. And I need to finish those. But I just keep finding different and interesting ways to promote the services, or to talk about nutrition insecurity, or to do other things. tomorrow is a work day. Tomorrow is Tuesday, and I am going to crank those out. I get up very, very early in the morning. I make coffee and I start pushing information out, videos, posts, tweets, pictures. I learned a long, long time ago, to make sure that I'm photographed doing absolutely everything I do.
Yes.
Every time I do a grocery store tour, I'm photographed. Anytime I speak publicly, I'm photographed. I go to a festival or a market, or I'm doing anything, I'm photographed. And as a result, I have this very, very, this big, big library of photos of me in action. And I can't tell you how important that is for your marketing. You must have photos of you in action, because of
being able to document what you do is an amazing way to share with others what it is that you do so that they can better understand it, especially when you are reaching out to them in a way that is virtual or via social media, where you may not have a direct interaction and they may not be able to do a grocery store tour with you.
That's right. That's right. I always have photos of me kind of. One time I did a free grocery store tour of Rolling Oats for the run for St. Pete Run Fest. And it was Saturday morning. I did not want to go. Honestly, I was just comfortable where I was. I made a promise and I went. There was a professional photographer there and videographer there. And he took so many amazing photos and videos of me giving a grocery store tour to a bunch of runners. Now, for me to pay for that, do you know what that would have cost me? So
it would have been unreal. Yeah.
Yeah. So those photos ended up, I use those even today. I use those photos to explain, to show me with a captive audience, because that's a very, very powerful marketing tool is me giving a grocery store tour with a captive audience. It would have happened whether or not the photographer was there.
Right.
But I just got lucky that day. I mean, it's a community service thing. I also do a lot of community service.
Okay.
I say yes to a lot of things that I don't get paid for. And what I get at the back end is sometimes tenfold. For instance, I said yes to that gig that paid me no money, and what I got out of it was tenfold. So when you're starting out, you have to do a lot of free stuff.
Sure.
I'm still doing free stuff. I do free stuff all the time. I also feel like it's part of, a lot has been given to me, and I feel like a need to give back to the community. So if there's a church, if there's a nonprofit, if there's another organization that's not like a big Fortune 500 company,
right,
the answer is always yes.
So Wendy, are you from St. Pete?
Born and raised in St. Pete. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I think you are the second guest that we've had. You're going to be episode number 62. This is crazy. I think you're only the second guest, but it does show so much about St. Pete being a magnet for bringing people here that have an interesting idea and are looking to build a business. And it's so cool to, Nikki Hage was the first of the two with Hage Fence Repair. And it's so weird to me to see all of these businesses that come and nobody's actually from here. But when you take a look at the population at large, hardly anybody's actually from here. It's kind of like when I grew up in Atlanta, I was there as it went from native to out of town, you know, people that had moved. I saw this, it tilt from majority Native to majority people who had moved there, relocated there. And I think that St. Pete is probably that tipping point was a long time ago, because I think when people get here, they just don't want to leave.
I think so. And I'll tell you, I look at St. Pete through 15-year-old eyes, and St. Pete was a place that you wanted to run from, not to. All of us in high school, like, we can't wait to get out of this town. Right. Get me out of St. Pete. And then, so now I see all these young people moving here, and I almost say, are you sure you want to move here? Are you? But I look at St. Pete through these, you know, teen angst eyes, like, get me out of this place. This place sucks, you know, but right. It's pretty cool now. It's really cool now. It's amazing. The changes I could tell you about, I could talk for hours about all the things that used to be there and now that's something else. It's amazing.
So are there any upcoming events or activities that you want to make sure that listeners and viewers of the Hustleberg community put on their calendar here in 2021?
Right. Coming up is the Tampa Bay Collard Green Festival, and that's okay. Coming up in May. It's normally in February because that's when collard greens are in season.
Right.
But because of coronavirus, my good friend Boyzel had to delay it to May. So okay. Hopefully it'll be, you know, kind of what it was, which is outdoor and open. And I'm always a featured kind of a chef, cooker, guest kind of a person on the main stage at Collard Green Festival. And then I do about once a month, I go to the Saturday morning market. There's a thing called the Taste Cart. And okay. I cook. What I do is I take locally, I take Florida grown produce and I whip up a dish and I sample it for people. And I'm at the market and I'm cooking and I'm talking about nutrition and I'm taking lots and lots of questions. People have a ton of questions for the dietitian. And
sure.
I love going to the Saturday morning market. And again, that's a free I don't get paid for it, but I get a lot of clients that way because I'm there at the market, and anything that you can do that is where you're kind of positioning yourself as entertainment or an expert, helps to bring in clients. So whenever you can speak, whenever you can write, podcast, say yes. The answer is always yes.
Now, Wendy, where can people find out more about you and what you offer, as well as connect with you? We're talking about websites, social media, and the like.
Okay. Well, I think the primary source is my website. It's WendyWesleyanNutrition.com. And, of course, I have a Facebook presence. I believe it's Wendy St. Pete. I think that's my handle, okay. Wendy St. Pete. Wendy St. Pete is also my Instagram. And right. Then I'm on LinkedIn just like everybody else. And
sure.
Also I started an organization called Nutrition Equity St. Pete. And that's on Facebook, because people were coming to me left and right saying, I like your work in food activism and food justice. How can I join you? How can I also become a food justice advocate? And so it's kind of a clearinghouse for opportunities. So we go speak at the Development Review Commission down at City Hall. We go speak to City Council. We write letters, we send emails, and it's all to get the ball moving on food justice and food equity in St. Pete.
Got it. Well, the good news is, for anybody who didn't have a chance to write any of that down, it's all going to be linked in the show notes, whether you're watching on YouTube, whether you are looking at this at beyondyoursidehustle.com, whether you're hearing or seeing this through one of our myriad podcast channels. Wendy, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing what it is that you do to help the community here in St. Pete.
And I want to thank you for having me on, and thank you for having this format for local businesses, because, man, you know, being a native, it's all about local, local, local. And I applaud you for giving small businesses this format. It's super cool.
Hey, you did it. You've just listened to Hustleberg. Hustleberg is produced by Beyond Your Side Hustle, where we help you craft an awesome strategy for your business and build a community that supports you today and in the future. We help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustle and into the business they're dreaming of. If we provided you with something valuable with this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast player, especially you Apple Podcast listeners. This is something that only takes a few seconds that will help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer and grow our community. Speaking of great businesses here in St. Pete, if you're a small business owner here and you'd like to share the story of your business with the Hustleberg community, please let us know by visiting beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast guest. Did you know that at Beyond Your Side Hustle, we're helping small business owners reach ideal engagement on any social media platform with a free 3-week training by email? It's available for you at beyondyoursidehustle.com/3weeks. You can also find a link for it in the show notes. Start right now to learn how you can fix your feed to serve you, start engaging on social the right way, and create a community around you and your business. The opening music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend, Rhymer Educator. I encourage you to check him out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Berg.